for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about faith and finances. And I know that me just saying that might make you sweat. Might make you consider planning a hike in Shenandoah National Park next Sunday. But hear me out. Jesus actually has a lot to say about money. Our relationship with money really matters. As much as we would not like to admit it, money has power in our society. We use it as a tool for living, to buy food, to pay for our housing and transportation, to support our health. It claims to be a key to happiness. The newest outfit, the more comfortable shoe, the restful vacation on the horizon without children, entertainment of various kinds. You don't even have to leave your couch now to spend it. The other day, I was scrolling on my phone, and I ended up buying these socks for Phoebe that have, like, silicone bottoms, so, like, we don't have to worry about putting shoes on her. And afterwards, I'm like, why did I buy those? We all wish we had more of it, and it always seems to disappear quicker than we would like. Money seems to make the world go round. And so today, Jesus is asked a really interesting question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, or not? Now, the greater context here is it is Holy Monday. So yesterday, Jesus just rode in on a donkey, and there was that palm parade. You know, we're leading to, like, holy, like, Good Friday, Easter. And so on this Monday, they are in the synagogue, and the Pharisees, the Torah-focused, law-abiding religious folks, and the Herodians, the lovers of Rome and the emperor, both groups get together. And they ask Jesus this question with the intent to either make the faith community upset or to get him arrested for treason, because they are annoyed by him. And this question is meant to trap him once and for all, because no matter how he answers it, he's going to get some people riled up. This tax that he's talking about, that they ask him about, is all about keeping the peace. And people had to pay a lot of taxes back then, but this specific tax that they're asking about really got people upset, because this was the money paid to the Roman military occupation. First century Jewish folks were forced to pay this tax so that their oppressors could live in the neighborhood and rule over them. Plus, for the Jewish community, it felt like they were breaking their religious code. For this money was stamped with the Roman emperor's face on it, a whole graven image thing, and it was embossed with the "Hail Caesar, Son of God." And this broke two commandments. You shall have no other gods. You won't use God's name dishonorably. So, if Jesus said, pay your taxes, he would be angering the oppressed, overtaxed crowd, and he for sure would have been thrown out of the temple. But, if Jesus says, don't pay the tax, then the Herodians would have been upset, and he would for sure have been arrested. And so, what is Jesus to do? Well, what does any good theologian do but ask another question? Why do you put me to the test? Show me this coin. For Jesus knew the religious leaders had lots of coins in their pockets. Paying this tax was not a hardship or a burden, and they were actually in cahoots with one another. And so they have this conversation. Well, who's on this? And they're like, the emperor. So Jesus says this line, give the emperors the things of the emperors, and God the things that are God's. And everyone is annoyed and satisfied, and they're forced to leave him alone for another day. Now, to be clear, Jesus is not saying there should be a separation between religion and politics. Nor is he saying, let awful systems of oppression just be. He's being much more sneaky than that. He had just thrown out the money changers out of the synagogue, and then had a conversation saying, you can't serve two masters, God and money. And so in this one sentence, Jesus reminds the crowd what they all profess to be true. All belong to God. We hear echoes of that in our other texts for today. In Isaiah, we hear of this rescuer who doesn't even know God, but who God works through to rescue the people out of exile. This is a God who can level the mountains, break through iron doors, subdue nations, and strip kings of their robes. Our psalm sings of a God who's made the cosmos, who judges the people with equity. All creation roars and sings God's praise, and indeed God is almighty and powerful. In this one sentence, Jesus reminds the crowd of these facts, and then also calls them to remember that they too bear the image of God. The emperor's face may be stamped on a coin, but they, the emperor included, and we too have all been stamped with God's face. And this deepest truth is at the core of our being and is what really matters. No matter how much money we have in our bank accounts, how much time we volunteer in our communities, whether we serve the government or work in the private sector, we belong to God. God has created our very fingertips, knows the hairs on our head, every pore, every blood vessel. God knows it all. And loves each detail. We run ourselves ragged in this rat race around money. But God calls us to remember first, we belong to God. We are good and important just the way we are. And this is the starting place for everything else. This has the power to reorient how we look at the rest of our life, how we treat one another, how we look at the resources given to us, and how we live each day. I know I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I think I want to dig in a little deeper today. I mentioned that our life is kind of like pie, right? And we often try to segment our lives into many different pieces, scheduling everyone and everything down to the minute, making lists and Google calendars. For our time, our life, our finances can look like this pie. And we cut out slices for different things. A slice could be for church, maybe another slice for work and fun, family and parenting and health. Each slice is kind of a different size, right? And one slice might get swallowed up completely by others. And it could vary from week to week. And sometimes it even feels like all of it is out of our control. A wise colleague once reminded me that faith cannot thrive in a system where it only gets to be one slice of our pie. That faith is actually the pie plate that holds all of the other pieces together, that bakes it to perfection and makes it taste buttery and crispy and good down to the last crumb. It influences how the entire pie comes out. I was hoping this pie plate would be a little shiny, but even the idea of like our image is reflected in this, right? Like that we are in God's image, and here is how we hold our life. And this is what stewardship is about. How we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we spend our hearts, how we cut the pie given to us for the sake of love of God and love of neighbors. In a couple of weeks, we are going to ask you to fill out a commitment card. And I know that can sound kind of stressful or maybe annoying or boring, but I hope you will take this as an opportunity for you to reflect on how God is calling you to cut your pie. My prayer is that you won't see this as a chore, but a chance to dig in and reflect and think about the exciting ministry happening here in this place, in this moment. To prepare for that, we're going to spend a little time at the end of every sermon reflecting together, which is why there is paper and writing utensils in the pews. I'm going to read these questions out loud, especially for our folks watching online. But the hope is that you'll take these questions home and reflect on them this week. There's actually a question about pie on there. So I'm going to read this, give you some time to think and reflect, and I hope that you will take them home and chat about them with your spouse, with your family, with your friends. But hear these questions now. What is your earliest experience with money that you can remember? What stands out as a primary money role model for you? Who does? And what is one key thing that you learned from this person? What's one way you have used money recently that you feel really good about? And how would you describe your present attitude toward money? And has that changed as you have grown older? What does your pie currently look like? And if you're a visual person like me, I drew a circle for you on the other side. What parts of your current pie do you appreciate? And is there anything you would like to do differently? So I'm going to give you 2 minutes to start your brain and heart reflecting about this, and then we'll end with a prayer. Take a few moments to just wrap up your thoughts. Again, take these home with you. Put them on your kitchen table. Think about it with your morning coffee. And let us pray together. Dear God, thank you for creating us in your image and celebrating who we are. Help us hold this important truth in our hearts as we go about our work and our play, our rest and our care for ourselves and others. Be with us as we consider the pie you have given us and what you may be calling us into this time and season of our life and the life of our church. Bless our time and talents and treasures. May the ways we use what we have been given bring about your world of love, justice, and peace. Amen.